How are you, Dick?
Oh, I'm beautiful, man. I'm staring out at the Pacific Ocean in Maui. It doesn't get any better than this.
Oh. You're on holidays.
I'm on holidays. That's
Ooh,
right.
Ooh, how long for?
Just got here. So, this is the first morning. So, I'm here for a week.
Surf's up.
Oh, it's beautiful, man. I got to go find some surf. It's kind of calm out in front of us, but I'll go find some waves for my son and I to kill each other in.
Gosh, well, you sound chilled. The final four, March Madness moves into April and into the final four, and we've got two pronounced favourites. UConn, of course, the team to beat. They're 11.5, in fact, 12.5-point favourites against Alabama, and Purdue and 9.5-point favourites against North Carolina State. These matches for our listeners Sunday morning, our time. But can you envisage one upset in those two games?
Only the Purdue side. That's the only one I can see. I think UConn has just been playing too perfect a basketball for two seasons now. I think they're beatable by Purdue if they were to get Purdue in the championship game. But UConn, they're just, what they're doing is they're defying what NCAA tournament teams do. Usually when you have an NCAA tournament team that wins the championship, they don't even make it to the Sweet 16 the next year. This is the first time in like 15 years it's even happened where a team has won the championship and made it to the Sweet 16. It is so hard to repeat, but they are just playing so consistently well on both the sides of the ball. Klingon is just a force down there blocking everything that anybody tries to throw up. I mean, Alabama, to stay in it, is going to have to hit their threes. And Alabama is an excellent three-point shooting team, but I think if UConn just extends their defense and forces Alabama to penetrate, it's going to be tough for Bama to keep up with UConn.
Mm-hmm. I saw a bit of this women's game the other day, Dick. Iowa taking on LSU. And I've heard you talk about Caitlin Clark before, didn't know much about her. So when I'm watching her, it rang a bell. And then she just kept going, bang, 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 landing in the basket. How good is she?
She's the greatest college women's basketball player of all time.
Wow.
She has transformed the game. You just take a look at the ratings. 12.3 million viewers for that basketball game, a women's basketball game that wasn't even a Final Four game. An Elite Eight game, 12.3 million viewers. Just to put that in perspective, guys, that's the second best NCAA tournament ratings this year on the men's side or the women's side. It beat 4 of 5 NBA Finals games last year for ratings. And it's the most watched basketball game of any kind on ESPN since the 2018 Eastern Conference Finals. That is how many people watch that women's game, and it's only going to rise now with this next game coming up against UConn.
What was the rivalry there between her and, I can't remember the lady's name on the other team.
Yeah, Angel Reese.
Angel Reese. What's the beef there?
Well, it goes back to last year's national championship game. This was a rematch of the national championship game of last year that LSU won, and Angel Reese is a very, very outspoken player. I mean, Caitlin Clark is outspoken on the court. Angel Reese is kind of outspoken both on the court and off the court. And, Angel Reese kind of flashed a little John Cena, you can't see me, at the end of the game. She was pointing at her ring finger like, hey, Caitlin, look at this. I got myself a ring and you don't. And she was doing that on the floor. And so that carried over to this year. But they were good sports at the end of the game. They embraced at the end of the game. So there were no hard feelings after Iowa got its revenge and heads to the Final Four.
But she basically has to score 35 points every game. Otherwise, they don't win, do they? Because I see South Carolina are the hot favorites to win it all in the heading into the Final Four. They're $1.45.
Yeah, all the rest of these teams that are in it are more complete basketball teams than Iowa. It's just that Caitlin Clark is so much better than any player on any other team. She just rises her level. And it's funny, like, you can scout all you want and say, hey, if we hold Caitlin Clark to under 35 points, I guarantee you we can win this game. Well, that's all great in theory. And you actually have to go out and hold Caitlin Clark to under 35 points, and almost no team has been able to do that this season.
Is it right? My son said to me the other day that a lot of the girls, they don't want to leave college early because they earn a lot more money than what they would if they went professional. Is that right?
Yeah, we've seen a big shift because in the last couple of years, there's something called name, image, and likeness, where these college players, there was a lawsuit filed in the Supreme Court that these college athletes make so much money for their programs that they should be able to use their name, image, and likeness to make money. Prior to that, they were strictly amateur athletes. And now this Supreme Court ruling has allowed these players to get paid. And especially on the women's side of things, but even on the men's side of things, these, you know, these top-ranked players for these teams are making anywhere from $500,000 to even upwards to $1 million in a season. And that's just frankly more than the WNBA pays. And if you're not a lottery pick in the NBA, you might as well just stay at Kentucky or Kansas or one of Duke, one of these top-ranked teams, and continue to make your $500,000 to $1 million, play on your college team, be a superstar, be on TV every week, instead of being a second-round draft pick in the NBA and playing in some minor league or heading overseas and playing. So it's actually helped the college game a lot because it's kept these players in school, so we know them more. We know Caitlin Clark more than we have in the past. We know guys like Armando Bacot and Hunter Dickinson on the men's side more so than we have in the past, because normally these guys would just leave as fast as they possibly could because we're like, well, we're not making any money. We might as well go to the NBA, even if we're going to be a low first round draft pick and not make a lot of money. We might as well do that than stay here and make nothing in college.
And just back on the men's side, Zach Edey, he's sort of the man, isn't he, at Purdue as far as the best player. Where's he sort of expected to go in the NBA draft, and how is he expected to translate into the NBA as well?
He would translate fabulously if this were 1984. and you had these post players that were 7 feet tall that you just dumped it into them and they made a post move and a jump hook or something like that, because he is fantastically skilled. He's not good just because he's big. He is fantastically skilled. He is a mountain of a man. He's 7'4", 300 pounds, absolutely dominated. Makes Purdue win is the fact that they can shoot around him. So you can't double Zach Edey in the post because they got four shooters standing around there at the three-point line that if he passes any one of them that you leave, they're going to knock the three down. And that's what makes Purdue so much better than they were last year, because they just couldn't shoot the ball last year, and this they can. How well does he translate? He's a low first-round draft pick. He's kind of a guy that you'd have to use in spurts. He's a good defender, not an elite defensive player. He's just a straight-up 1980s post-up center with really great moves that's fantastic for the college game when you have shooters around you, not so fantastic for the NBA game.
What about in the NBA then, Dick? In the East, it just looks like Celtics. Although you're still a little bit concerned about them, aren't you?
Well, I'm not concerned about them in the East. They have really stretch their lead. They're 12 games ahead of the Bucks. I still think the Bucks can give them a good Eastern Conference championship. That's the Eastern Conference championship we all want to see. I don't see any other team in the Eastern Conference. I mean, if Philadelphia, you know, shows over the last few games with Joel Embiid back, and then, you know, wins a couple series in the playoffs, then you might think, okay, Philadelphia is back to where we thought they were going to be. So it'll be interesting to see how well Joel Embiid plays over the next 2 or 3 weeks, because that's the only other team I could potentially see other than Milwaukee giving Boston a game. And then the Western Conference, you know, we are headed towards a Los Angeles Lakers Golden State Warriors play-in series, guys. And that's going to be fabulous. And wow. I am sticking with the LA Lakers. I think the Lakers are dangerous. I think they can probably turn the gas off here in the next couple of games. They win a couple more games and clinch that play-in spot and really don't look like they can move up. I think they can turn off the gas. They can rest LeBron. They can rest AD. And I think the Lakers' best chance to beat the Denver Nuggets is if they get that 8 seed and they play Denver in the first round, because then they're not battle weary over 2-3 series in the playoffs. They are fresh and ready to go. I think that's the only shot they have of beating Denver is if they see them in the first round.
Gosh, yeah, that play-in. As it stands at the moment, Sacramento 7, Phoenix 8, Lakers 9, Warriors 10. That is mouthwatering how that's going
to really play. It really is. It's so much more interesting. I mean, it's so much more interesting. Look at the Eastern Conference, guys. It's Miami, Philadelphia, and then two teams that are sub-500 in the Bulls and the Hawks playing. I mean, the Eastern Conference play-in is going to – no one's going to watch that. Everybody's going to watch Lakers-Warriors.
Okay, Texas Open. Before the Masters, who do you like this week?
Yeah. Well, the top end guys that I like are Hideki, Connors, and Norin. Those are the three. Connors has won this twice. He had better golf coming into this than either time that he won it before. I think Hideki has had a fabulous year. And then Alex Norin is a guy that one of the more talented players that has never won on the big time PGA Tour. I think he's won a off season event. But, no, I tell you what, it's going to be fun this week in Texas. We'll see how much the winds blow, and then it sets up for a fabulous Masters coming up next week. And we get to see all the guys, not only the PGA guys. We get to see the LIV boys as well.
Enjoy Hawaii. Fair to say we're envious.
I swear I just saw a humpback whale breach about 500 meters out to my right.
Stop
it. Yes, it's good stuff.
Enjoy, mate. Thank you.
See you, boys.